Live from Los Angeles, this is LA Talk Radio, broadcasting for the seventh year.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Willow, only on LA Talk Radio.
Amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro, and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you. My guest, I'm very honored to have this guest on tonight. Great guitar player, but he's so much more than that. He's done a lot of different things. My guest is Mark Mann. He's played guitar with a lot of great people like Eric Clapton, Paul McCartney. I'm going to play a clip of that in a second, of the Concert for George, which he was featured on. And he also has toured with ELO and done a lot of stuff with Jeff Lynne. But also, too, he's an orchestrator, arranger, MIDI programmer, synthesizer programmer, and player, and has done a lot of work with Danny Elfman on some of his more memorable scores. And he also does his own composition, and we're going to take a look at some of his composing, too. But all through that, he's just a killer guitar player.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
It's great
can
to
I
have
get you.
You
to do my PR.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm going to open up. I'm going to play two clips in a row. They're the leads that. One of the things that was interesting, even before Mark was booked even on the show, I was listening, actually he was booked, but I didn't realize at the time that he was playing.
Book him, Dano. Uh oh.
No, it was unfortunately, you know, Prince had passed away. But that video of him playing on While My Guitar Gently Weeps for the Concert for George.
Just that was actually the induction of George into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's what that was?
That clip was not the Concert for George when
okay.
The performance with Prince
yeah.
that you're mentioning.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm
that
sorry.
Was the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Okay. So he was, anyway, they, you know, that just been playing everywhere, but there was. You know, the lead in the song. I mean, Prince plays at the end, and they let him take it out, and he does his lead. He plays his guitar all the way out. But the lead actually in the song, which follows what George had done, is my guest played it. It's just a killer lead. And
well, it was a great night. I mean, Tom Petty and Jeff Lynne sang, and we had Danny Harrison, who is George's son, performing with us, and I got a big kick because Traffic was inducted the same year into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we had Jim Capaldi on percussion, we had Steve Winwood on organ, we just had this band that was absolutely incredible to do that performance. And the interesting thing about it is, you know, we just said, hey, you know, let's add Prince on the end, and he said, yeah, and then it happened.
Now, I have to. Let me go ahead and play the clips, and then we'll talk about. Because I want to talk a little bit about what you were using. I mean, you can see the Strat, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the gear and stuff. But I'm going to play that clip, and then I'm going to play the clip from Concert for George of Something when Paul McCartney and Eric Clapton were singing. And I have the lead clip when the band kicks in. It starts out with the ukulele, with Paul singing with the ukulele, and the band kicks in. You do the lead, which. is another great, I mean, all over the internet they were talking about that when I was doing research. It was great. And then
great song and a great performance on an amazing night.
So let me go ahead and this, I'm going to play the clip from the induction While My Guitar Gently Weeps, and then I'll go right into something. So take a listen. Some great tone, great playing.
Thank you. That was quite a mashup of the two songs. I was waiting for a little bit of the ukulele with Paul singing. So, yeah, there's since this is a guitar show and gear and stuff, the what you're hearing when I'm doing this, I've worked with a lot of people. By the way, just to throw it in there, on the original White album, While My Guitar Gently Weeps, George asked Eric Clapton to come in, mm-hmm. and that's Eric playing that original
right.
solo. So when I got to be part of the concert for George, and Eric was the music director, it was kind of one of these things where we come into this big rehearsal hall and we're figuring out which songs that George's were going to do, and at one point Eric turns to me, who I'm, you know, he's one of the reasons I play guitar. He's
yes.
really, you know, the grandmaster guitar player who influenced my playing. Anyway, he turns to me and says, Mark, I'm going to be singing the words and I have to focus on it. Can you do all the bits? And I had no idea that that was going to be the case. So I went, yeah, can we do it tomorrow? And he said, yes. So I went back to the hotel room and woodshedded and just really... And he gave me a couple of little neat little tips. So the cool thing is that... on Concert for George, I did all of the bits in and around the vocals, all the filigree lines, all the answer lines, all the turns, and then Eric did the main solo.
Mm-hmm.
But when we did Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Eric wasn't there, and Tom Petty said, you know, let's have Mark do it. And Jeff Lynne, who I'd been working with for a couple of decades by then, said, you know, yeah. And it was kind of like one of those things where when we got there and they said, well... Prince is getting inducted too, so this is going to be the last song of the show. Let's have Prince come on at the end. And Tom said, yeah, okay, but Mark's playing the solo.
That's cool.
And it was like, okay. So that was a really nice thing. And so to bring that into what I'm holding in my hands, this is an actual Martin HD40 Tom Petty Signature Edition acoustic guitar. And it's beautiful, and Tom was very generous in getting it to me. And it's got, you know, the phases of the moon inlay and the neck. It's got a beautiful headpiece. It's got ebony keys, and it's just a gorgeous thing. And I'll just play a little bit of this.
It just rings.
It's just great. A gorgeous guitar, and George was a big influence too, obviously. So back to the gear, you know, and I'm a kid growing up right here in the San Fernando Valley and learning to play guitar. At some point, obviously the Beatles were an influence. I would put on the Abbey Road album. You know, Pepper was the first big, you know, influence, but Abbey Road was one of those, oh my God, listen to this album. And I would put it on one side and drop it and then put on the guitar and learn to play all the way through. So obviously something was one of those. So here I am, you know, 12, 13 years old, sitting next to a record player,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and learning to play all this stuff, having no idea that later in life I would be standing on the stage of the Royal Albert Hall with Ringo Starr, Paul McCartney, Jeff Lynne, you know, just Eric Clapton, the whole thing, and going, okay, you're playing the solo for something.
Yeah.
But the cool thing about that, to bring it back to the gear, is having the great honor of working with Jeff Lynne over the years, he really has an ear for tone, and he really has an ear for sound. And a lot of what guitar players do is, you know, it's that elusive search for the right amp and the right, you know, pedals and the right this and that. Technology has always been an element of my world. I was, mm-hmm, very involved in software and computers and very involved in bringing MIDI and computers to the musicians in LA. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted a way that I could switch sounds and have a real palette available of all these different kinds of sounds. And the way that was possible was with the Roland DG system.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're hearing on both of those tracks is a really customized patch to match exactly what I heard as the tone of these records. With, it was funny because at the rehearsals with Eric and the band, I would play a little bit of something, and then on the way back in the van, Jeff would go, "It's got a bit too much tremolo on it," you know. And then I'd say, "Okay," and I could literally go into the settings, tweak, add a little more chorus, add a little less treble, do it, all these different things. And so to make it so that it can come out sounding the way you want, because you can emulate pickups, you can emulate pickup position, you can emulate hollow body, solid body, you can emulate down to what kind of wood the guitar is made out of, mm-hmm, where the mic is placed in front of the speaker cabinets. You can do all these things as modeling and store it, and it comes back the same way. So the trick for me was finding a way to translate that to sound in the world as transparently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually use Roland keyboard amps. Roland KC-350s, I think, were the number. There's now 500s. There's a bunch of the ones in the KC series.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were completely flat, mm-hmm, in the sense that they had a 12-inch speaker and a, mm-hmm, tweeter, and you could, you know, do a little bit of master EQ level on it, but what you stored as your setting came out every time. So you also mentioned that, you know, the ELO touring. That's actually when I got into that and made it so that to reproduce what Jeff had on his records, which is multiple guitar tracks, multiple tones, multiple different guitars, all these different sounds to create this beautiful spectrum of guitar sound in his recordings. And I'm like going, how am I going to do this live? And that was the answer.
So you're using the VG system.
Modern.
But I noticed on the video, on the video for the something in While My Guitar, I could see the Roland,
mm-hmm,
the Roland thing on the back of the bridge of the Strat, but I didn't see one on your on the ELO. Was it?
Oh, it's there.
It's
the exact same Strat.
It is?
Yeah.
Because I didn't see that, you know, unless they miniaturize it, because that little black.
What it is that there were some guitars eventually made that had the hex pickups,
mm-hmm,
built in, and also the hex connectors actually built into the guitar body. But at the beginning, it was an add-on that you would add. And
right,
because this particular Strat came into my life, and it was like, oh my God, I'd been a Gibson man forever,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
you know? And I thought, oh, you know, I'm not really that kind of Fender kind of guy. And then this Strat manifested itself into my life, and it had that attachment already on it. And then I went, oh. So, and I tried it, and I worked it out, and the technology really made it possible. There was all these other ones. There was the lasers, I don't know, the MIDI stuff they were trying with all these ways of making guitars do MIDI and stuff like that. It wasn't really working until they came up with the Hex system.
Well, I remember, yeah, all the Art tried to do a guitar synthesizer and their pickup, and it just didn't track. It wasn't until Roland that it actually tracked where you could play fast.
There was no latency whatsoever.
Right.
And one of the cool things that I did for the Zoom tour, the ELO Zoom tour, was we kind of stepped down the band a little bit, mm-hmm. and I did all the cello arrangements for two cellists. And so it was the core band and just two cellos, so we didn't have a string section. So at the beginning of Living Thing is this amazing, you know, solo Mick Kaminsky flourish on electric violin. So it was sort of like, okay, so I actually had the other component that goes with the rolling gear, which was the MIDI component, and I was driving a whole rack of violin samples.
And oh, wow.
I played that.
Because I noticed on when I was going through the ELO stuff, and we're going to play a clip in a minute, the blend with you and the cellos was just awesome. I could hear it just worked. I mean, it was really – and I'm still amazed that you get that full of a sound with two cellos.
Yeah. Well, part of it is that I'm doing stuff behind it. Richard on the other keyboards is doing stuff. And if you noticed, I also – on some of the big – orchestral, I was playing keyboards.
Yeah, I saw a keyboard there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Let me play. I'm going to play a clip. This kind of gives you an idea of those tones. And I assume that, Jeff Lynne was very specific what he wanted you to sound like. But this is a good example.
He just loved it when I did it right.
Yes.
It was sort of like I was there. I was there engineering
right.
the album.
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Ulliate also engineered a lot, and he's a good friend of mine from way back. We brought in, who also mixed the concert for George, and mm-hmm. I helped on some of that mixing too. But we were actually there as the album was being recorded, mm-hmm. so we got to see Jeff add the bits and pieces and layers. And when you do that, you go, "Oh, okay." And one of the ones you mentioned was the "Lonesome Lullaby,"
which is the clip I'm going to play. When he did the original recordings before, did he use the VG system or did
No.
He uses.
He
amps
has, or? You know, his studio has a wall of guitars of every different kind, and he has a Tele that he's used a lot. He has his gold Les Paul, which he used on tour a lot in the early days. But as he said, it weighs a lot and it starts to take its toll on mm-hmm. it. But he has a sort of a really great Tele that he's modified, and he uses that in a lot of different amps and a lot of other different guitars, you know, for the record. So it was up to me to go, well, how am I going to do this? So I would analyze what was used in each song and make it match, and he went, oh, that's good.
Well, let me play the clip, and you'll hear when we can discuss a little bit what he was doing here. This is Lonesome Lullaby.
Churches knew all about it. What was right and what was wrong? You pulled the wool over the eyes of everyone. Maybe I was weak, but I should have been strong. Cry, baby, cry. Tell me about your lonesome love.
That's
live.
Yes.
That's live, guys. That's not a studio record.
And to give perspective, he's doing all those little fills in the background, which is a different sound, that little, like, the distorted guitar. And then he does that.
I'm doubling those, too.
Oh, okay. And then he does that tremolo type of sound.
That's me on the tremolo. That's one of the reasons I'm using the VG system, too, is I'm actually, people thought, my God, he's dancing back there. I probably have, on more of the complex ones, I may have six different patches for one song that mm-hmm. are set to go from different ones. I actually thought you were going to play the intro, because the intro is just a solo exposed line on the tremolo guitar.
It was interesting how you, because he's playing, if I remember, he's playing acoustic guitar on there at that time. He's playing like a 12 string or something, and or he's playing
he
he's
might
playing,
be playing
he's playing
his
that
telly.
Rhythm.
He might be playing his telly,
and then you're working in and around it.
Yeah,
and I thought that was kind of interesting because you change, and now in the programming when you change, do you manually change it or is it?
No, I step on a pedal.
You step on a pedal, mm-hmm. So it's not like programmed into the rest of the.
No, because you know if you have something that's that sound for the chorus, and then we come back to a chorus later, I use the same sound mm-hmm. for the tremolo guitar. But in the verses, it'll be a different clean guitar, and you know there may be something where I'm doubling the cellos or adding some strings with the guitar, and that system really gave you the versatility to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how fast you can. With that system, you just change. It's like night and day.
Yeah, there's a DVD of that tour concert, mm-hmm. Zoom, ELO Zoom, and you're hearing exactly what we played, and you'll hear a bunch of different sounds, you know, within one song, and that kind of makes it, you get spoiled,
mm-hmm.
and so it's kind of hard to. Step back and just use, but it's still good to get back to, you know, like for the show that's upcoming. I'm just using my Strat plugged into a small Marshall.
Oh, okay.
And that's it. I'm just trying to.
Now, I mean, do you use the VG system for a lot of if you play for other people in gigs or do you like to just use amps to change it up a little bit? Or
it depends. One of the beauties also is with all the studio recording I do that basically I just plug the thing in and it sounds great. And I keep it in my studio plugged in and it records in stereo. Like I think I sent you an R&B clip because
mm-hmm.
you love R&B. That's basically me in an afternoon doing something for I can't remember if it was a TV show or a film, but they wanted something that sounded like a certain R&B from the 70s, and that's just the really clean Strat on a VG with, you know, just the right tone and just the right old-fashioned, you know, 57 mics in front of an old, you know, twin.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's play that because I like a nice R&B feel here. This is called Clap Happy, and you'll hear what he's talking about. It kicks right in, and it cuts through the mix. I mean, when the organ comes in there, it really, really works.
Yeah, that's all me. That's me doing drums, me playing bass, me mm-hmm. playing the keyboard organ part, and me putting the guitar on. And you've got 5 hours, go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just kind of nice to be able to get what I consider a really clean, you know, R&B type guitar tone without having to worry about, you know, an amp humming or mm-hmm. a buzz from what direction you're facing with your, you know, your single coil pickup and all that kind of stuff. It's just sort of right there.
Now, let me ask you something. You're using, what's the model of the guitar that you're using? Is that a Strat model?
Yeah, it's a Fender Strat.
No, I know it's a Strat, but I mean the modeling, the Cosm of
guitar. Oh, inside the Cosm.
What's the guitar model?
Okay. Well, I'd have to actually go in. At the beginning of using this, I used a really cool resource, which was message boards, where a lot of people were using these, and they would post, because Sysx data, you could download stuff. So I did a lot of stuff looking for certain types of sounds, and they had, you know, presets, which were okay to start with. There's some interesting things. But I would grab these off the internet, download them, load them into the unit, and then tweak them to my liking, get them and store them. And so I believe that that is a Strat model COSM, probably in the back pickup. You can do the whole thing about, you know, which position your pickup switch is in and all that other stuff. And
what did you
sounds
use,
real.
What did you use for the two Beatle tunes? Did you use a Strat model or did you use a Gibson model?
Oh boy.
Because that's
see.
A thick, that's kind of a thick sound, though he did
yeah,
use
I'd
a Strat.
I have to look that one up. I hadn't done it for many, many years. I was kind of keeping it under the hood and secret and all this other stuff. But I think I was at a session with this artist from Santa Fe, Ruby Ate the Fig, who will hopefully play a track on that later. It was actually the first time I showed this. Danny Montgomery is an amazing world-class drummer. And Sharon is the artist, Ruby Ate the Fig. We were doing a session, and I kind of pointed out, I pressed a few buttons on my VG and said, there, that's the While My Guitar Gently Weeps patch, and because it's, you know, abbreviated in the title. And they were all like looking at this thing. People were taking out cameras and taking pictures of the screen. And I said, and then over here is the solo for Something, which you played also. So inside the guts of it, you know, you have to get into edit pages and things like that. But I still use them.
Because it's hard to tell. I mean, I think Something, I'm not sure, but I think he used a Gibson for the lead.
Yeah. And at times you can be realistic and go sort of, you know, cerebral about it. But in the end, it's what does it sound like? And if it sounds like, you'll notice there's a body to the tone, but then there's a high little peak that comes out, like it's in a multi-pickup position, so you're getting a little treble from here, but a little body from here. So it's having knowledge of the way guitars really work. Like, I love it when you say, you know, why is it called a humbucker? And people don't even know. As well, it's because it's a dual coil, and the second coil is actually bucking the hum of what a single coil used to do and give you a 60-cycle hum. That's why it's called a humbucker. And it's, oh. So if all the listeners out there, if we're going to actually give them some knowledge today, is know why guitars are what they are, understand them, and then I think the way things are going forward with modeling and like the Line 6 amps and a lot of the COSM and things like that, learn what made guitars do what they did in the past, but then learn the new technology and make use of it.
Yeah, no, that's true. But even like in the...
But you can't make this sound any different than...
Yeah, no, it's... I mean, COSM does pretty well for an acoustic. I know Joni Mitchell used to use the VG system.
Yes, she did, because of the multiple tunings.
Right. She could just hit a button and it changed. And it was pretty decent. It had a pretty... It was, you know, for live at that time. I mean, today, the pickup technology for acoustic guitars is much better. They sound more like acoustic.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, the old Piezos from the Ovation days, the first Ovations, as you know, they were pioneers. So you have to give them credit. But
well,
they
if you watch, you know, the concert for George, you'll see that at times I actually am using a an acoustic patch on it to add certain things in body, and there's a great 12-string patch, acoustic 12-string.
Oh. Yeah, it was interesting listening to some of the clips that you had sent me, because it's like, how did he do that? Wait a minute, that sounds like acoustic. That sounds like acoustic guitar there.
Mirrors. We don't want to give it all away.
But that VG system, it's amazing. I'm curious if you ever used. There was a violin patch I used. I saw at NAMM one time, and they had. It actually was. It was great if you were doing like arpeggiated stuff. It sounded really kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know. And the other thing, well, the other thing is musicians who are starting out today, you know, it can be overwhelming, but the resources that are available for being able to record yourself.
Right.
It's just, I would have died for that when I was a young man.
Yeah. Speaking of acoustic guitars and a little bit more of the VG system, I want to play a clip from one of your scores that you did.
Okay.
This is called The Mirror, and I think it's two cues, The Hideout and The Murder, and they go right after another. So one of them,
right,
set
to set
it up.
The scene a little bit is it's taking place in the desert, and part of it is that they're traveling through a mirror to go to a witnessing a murder. So the first part is a little bit of Spanish guitar, so you can set the mood and the setting of a desert scene, and then it gets, you know, kind of crazy, violent, with a lot of stuff going on. So to manifest that, we went to a more frantic, orchestral, mm-hmm. and rock crazy guitar. And the interesting thing about that is utilizing guitar in an orchestral setting is kind of challenging. You have to really know how to mix the two together.
All right, well, let me play the clip and take a look. It's just great. I mean, the Spanish guitar really, but it goes into this really like cool. The electric guitar, we'll talk a little bit about that. Here, this is The Mirror. Great.
Oh, now, you didn't let it finish.
the clip you're using, is that on a classical guitar? Regular?
That is my Aria mm-hmm. Nylon classical, which I got many years ago, which has been a great nylon classical guitar. I played a lot of classical guitar when I was attending UCLA, getting mm-hmm. my degrees, masters and bachelors in music at UCLA. Mm-hmm. So I was doing a lot of classical guitar there, and I noticed you had Steve Postel on here a couple weeks ago, and he mm-hmm. was talking about his early days too. And Leo Kottke, he mentioned, he was just lights went off when I heard him, and I learned a lot of things. It was funny because you learn from records. I would I didn't have a nylon guitar. I had a steel guitar. Mm-hmm. So I'd learned to play, and Leo Kottke was doing a Bach B minor bourée that just went, wow, I'd never heard this. And I learned to play the whole thing by ear. And then I realized, you know what? I got to start learning to read music.
Did you formally train? Did you go to music school? Did you study music?
I self-taught on guitar just by listening to records, and then realized that I wanted to also play keyboards, and took I think about a year of piano lessons. And then while I was at UCLA, I kind of lived in the basement practicing piano and guitar, and played in the jazz band, and I'll loop in Steve Bartek, who's one of the orchestrators that we work with, Danny Elfman. He was actually in the chair in the jazz band right ahead of me, because he was just a few years ahead of me. He graduated right when I came in, and I think that's kind of just a coincidence. And so you talk about guitarists and their approach to orchestration, because like you were mentioning that you had studied orchestration when you were at, was it USC?
Yeah, USC, and Jack Marshall he was a guitar player, and he studied, and you voice a little differently.
Yeah.
If you do it from guitar.
Yeah. I think having, working with Steve Bartek and Danny Elfman now for almost, 30 years, Danny's a guitar player, but we all use keyboards as our tools with computers. But I think it does give you a different approach to melody, and a different approach to harmonization and voicings, and it's been a great thing. I mean, we just finished the Alice in Wonderland score for Through the Looking Glass, and that's, people go, well, where do you go for 2.5 months? It's like 2 hours of music in that film, orchestral, full orchestral music. So it takes a team, Edgardo Simone, Dave Sloniker, there's a whole bunch of guys that work really hard, TJ Lindgren, it's a team effort. I think when you're a guitar player coming to orchestration, you do things, a little differently.
Well, do you, when you guys are, like, for something like that, Through the Looking Glass, are you scoring it on paper, or do you go right to computer? I mean, or in...
Well, we might have to pick up that on another day, it's definitely using technology, and way back in the early days, I met Danny, and he was recording... I want to say it might have been Dark Man or Pee Wee. I'm not sure which one, but he was recording on a Roland sequencer that had a single 8-character screen and a big wheel.
Yeah, I remember those.
And the way, if you played something in, and he had lots of DX7s, and he would, work out his ideas and stuff, and I kind of was one of the guys who got into the Macintosh early, and actually was instrumental in Opcode and Mark of the Unicorn coming, and being presented in Los Angeles. I did the first NAMM show showing this software. Anyway, and I showed Danny a Macintosh and said, check this out, and got him into Performer, and the rest is history, because he did everything on Performer ever since. And it makes it so that... it's a great tool for mocking up ideas, presenting them to the director, making sure, because what a lot of people may not realize is that there's a lot of money put into a score, and we're at the end of the process. We're given maybe 6 weeks, if we're lucky, to do the full score, including Danny writing themes and writing his cues and doing things, and we take it and doing all the synthesizers and things like that. Anyway, it has to be done fast. But everything, I'm one of the people who takes what Danny does, and I'm the one who turns it into the orchestra sketch.
Okay.
And then I will feed that to Steve Bartek. I'll feed that to the other guys on the team that I mentioned already. And... part of it is turnover. You have to get a cue done, sent to a copyist, and then put in front of an orchestra so they can play it immediately. And we get, luckily, we get the best orchestras in the world.
So what do you, just to ask, what scoring program, I presume you use one of the scoring programs.
Between Mark of the Unicorn Performer and Sibelius now.
Sibelius, okay. Because that was one of the cool things about Performer is that it would allow you to see the notes. It actually had a screen which would show you the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I use that a lot.
So it was that was interesting. I'm going to play another clip. We're almost. We only have a few minutes, and I want to play "Ruby Ate the Fig." I want to talk
well,
about
that. Let me just say one thing about that, which is there's a Washburn guitar I brought in to impress Jeff with, and it was a gift from the artist Sharon, who's "Ruby Ate the Fig," and it is a combination of Middle Eastern styles and Western rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think, what was the quote? You have the quote I gave you about. And so it's a little bit different. It's a challenge for the listeners as far as modes and learning, you know, scales other than the standard scales.
It's the Mahavishnu Orchestra meets the Police traveling through the Middle East, and they all have tea with Grace Slick. It's a good way to put it. And we'll play before we play that clip, though, I want to kind of set up the Washburn clip. This is a really cool little cue. I presume it's a cue called Geologic Clock.
Mm-hmm.
And there's it starts out with an orchestral thing, and then there's the parlor guitar in there, and you'll get to hear this Washburn. Let me play it real quick while he's grabbing it. Now that's that Washburn.
Yeah,
that's a cool sound.
It's sort of the a little tiny parlor guitar, which is a little bit different than. It's a small, sweet little. It's actually over 100 years old, according to all the information I have. And it was a gift from the Ruby Ate the Fig artist Sharon, and it's really. Great for all these.
Yeah, it's a real the Washburns. They have a really small body, but they're really project.
Yeah,
really
actually, loud. I'm jealous that because she has one that she gave to a great luthier, whose name is Keith, I believe, at the Viscaro guitar shop in Santa Fe, and he did a treatment of her guitar that just made it the best playing acoustic guitar I've ever played, which. One point I wanted to make when I came here tonight is for all the guitarists out there, find yourself a really good guitar technician or guitar luthier.
Mm-hmm.
I want to mention two. Norik Renson is right here in the Valley, and he does, you know, Kenny Loggins and all these great artists. And having the resource of a really great guitar tech, and also Bob Fredrickson at Sam Ash in Canoga Park, he took... the guitar that I was playing previously, the Tom Petty signature guitar, and did just such amazing things with it. So my point is that it's not just about technique. It's not just about, you know, style. Make sure that your instrument is set up the best way it can be, and that means finding a good guitar tech.
We're almost out of time, and there's two more things I want to play. I got to get through here. One of them, I want you to explain. I'm going to play a clip in a second called "Your Story" from Ruby and the Fig. Ruby Ate the Fig, and I wanted you to talk a little bit about what you did there because there's changing time signatures, the harmonic structure is kind of unusual, and then I also have in there one of your leads, and you're using the VG system in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. Do you want to set that up, or do you want me to?
Yeah, this was a live show in Santa Fe, so this is not a studio recording, but it's in the process of getting close to being finished. As far as the mix, I think it's going to be mastered by the end of the month, and it'll be out there on RubyAteTheFig.com. But this is unusual harmonies with meter changes that just seem to flow naturally, and the lyrics are sort of biblical in influence, the Song of Songs. So take a listen.
Okay, here we go. This is Your Story from Ruby Ate the Fig.
You don't want me near in this time. I'm in the weight of your eyes. 40 seconds colder am I. Had you been thinking when you went off to sea, your ship is sinking. Don't take me. My rope is airborne. You would do the same, but you won't take it, and I won't take the blame. In this time I'm in the weight of your eyes. 40 seconds colder am I. Waves of sound
great where you're going with that. Then I love the way the bass
falls. Well, that's you. That's Kenny Bly on bass, and he's just a phenomenal bass player. And Polly Tapia Ferber is on Dumbek and percussion, and we've got a couple other guys, Seren Baronian. Anyway, so the interesting thing about that is if you actually listen to the harmonic motion, is that a lot of the lead. It's weaving through half steps and going to places, and it was really a constructed solo to reinforce the harmonic motion that's going on.
It really is quite effective. I mean, it takes you some. It surprises you. You would expect you're not following the cliche. You're kind of like, oops, oh wow, you went there.
Well, okay. That's funny because one of the things that I think you have to try to do as a guitar player is find a voice, learn from others, but then create your own.
Right. No, but it's true. You do take it somewhere else, and it's your own.
So coming up
next
on June 24th and 25th is an opportunity to hear some great guitar players. I happen to be there also. But we've got Rob Bonfiglio is going to be there, and he's going to be your guest in a couple weeks. And we're doing the California Saga, which is a sort of retrospective of California music in the 60s and 70s. We've got Eagles, Linda Ronstadt, Mamas and the Papas. Jackson Browne.
You were noodling a little Buffalo Springfield warming up.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, we were doing that. We're going to do something. So come down to the El Rey on Wilshire Boulevard, June 24th and 25th, and you'll hear some really great, music, all the great music of California sound, with some multimedia and stuff like that. And one of the guys who is singing, John Pratt, I think we have a clip of our last show.
I'm going to play as we go out. And I want you to set up that clip because there's something unusual about that. So this is on the 24th, 25th. You can check it out it's on Facebook, and it's also...
Yes, and tickets are available on www.vlray.com. Tickets are still available, but not for much longer.
Yeah, this one's going to sell out.
Selling out fast. We're doing two nights. We've got an all-star cast, and we're very excited.
And it is a charity.
Five charities.
For, like, Mr. Holland's Opus, which gets music instruments into the hands of kids in elementary schools. and the Tree People, which plants trees, and
Rescue Train,
yeah, and
Beauty
a few
Bus,
other,
and
few
Project
other
Plays.
Yeah, Project
yeah.
Play.
So it's a good thing to support, and you'll hear some great music played by some great people.
So set up this clip real quick. Before you set it up, I just want to thank you for coming down here.
Sure.
And definitely, we didn't even... I mean, I have like another page of questions that I never got to ask, so we're going to have you come back.
Okay.
And I also want to thank Lori for helping me put this together. And it's just an honor to have you on here.
Thanks,
but
Jeff.
Set up the clip, and then we're going to take us out with this clip.
I'm not sure where you're starting. Are you starting in the middle, in the beginning?
Or? He sings a little bit. It's very light. And then there's the first guitar,
okay.
Major guitar.
So
thing.
First of all, it's a great performance of a song by Greg Lake from Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and we were doing a Christmas show, which was a benefit for Music Cares for the Grammy organization. And so it was fun to do a song that was, you know, from that era, and Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and there was Keith Emerson just passed away, so I thought it was appropriate. And Rob Bonfiglio is on 12-string acoustic playing a great, great part, mm-hmm. and John Pratt is singing. And the gag is that I wanted you to hear that not only can you do guitar tones with the VG system, mm-hmm. but what I'm doing here is I'm actually using some of the COSM modeling to do guitar blended with synthesizer sort of theremin almost type mm-hmm. tones. And so the melodies that you'll hear in the bridges are all me on guitar.
Okay. Everybody have a great week. Take a listen. This is a pretty lengthy clip. It's almost 3 minutes. But listen how it builds up. There's a lot of guitars. There's a lot of players.
Well, we've got Rob, and we've got Mike Stern on guitar, and
Dave Perlman, right?
Dave Perlman is mm-hmm. is a great pedal steel, and he's mm-hmm, adding mm-hmm. to this.
He's been
so,
to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on.
Yeah, he was on a couple
Well, a lot of these people on here now, I can honestly say, I'm honored to say that we're on the show. Rosemary Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
Rebo's going to be on. He's in the show.
And Danny was on already, and he's going to be there. So, yeah, we're going to have, it's going to be, it's a big.
So this is a little, you know, it's June. It's Christmas music is completely appropriate.
But it's interesting because, you know, being Emerson, Lake & Palmer, you would think it was keyboards, but it's interesting that you did this with guitars. And it's really a great arrangement. Okay, everybody, have a great week. We're going to leave you with Do You Believe in Father Christmas?
And thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Stone.